Joining us on Wells Tech today is Perry Lund, who teaches at Evergreen Lutheran High School, but that's not where he is at this moment. So Perry, welcome to Wells Tech.
Well, thank you very much.
And you are coming to us not from the great state of Washington, but from?
I am actually in the great state of Minnesota, right now Mankato, ooh, Minnesota, and Bethany Lutheran College at this point in time, and we're here with a good number, about 33 Evergreen Lutheran students at the will be at the MLC tip-off basketball tournament over the next few days.
Wonderful, doing a little college touring in the process.
Yeah, it's wonderful. We get to, the kids get to see Bethany Lutheran and MLC in one trip, so it's a good experience for the kids.
Well, you are a longtime Wells Techer. We are happy to have you back with us on the air today. But maybe for those that aren't familiar with Perry Lund, you can introduce yourself a bit.
Sure. As you said, I'm currently serving at Evergreen Lutheran High School and teaching primarily all the science courses, but also working with a robotics club and doing guidance counseling, registrar work, and some technology, the technology work too. Originally from Iowa, my wife and I grew up there and went to college there. And been married 32 years, and our son Eric is a senior at MLC. And we are in the Tacoma area right now. Parkland Lutheran is where we go to church, and that's pretty much it, a hobby of genealogy, and I'm currently finishing a master's degree with Dr. John Meyer at MLC.
Very nice. A lot of people have a hobby of genealogy. What drew you to that particular hobby?
Yeah, on my mom's side, there was a little bit of information there, but on my dad's side, the Norwegian side, we didn't have much. So we started doing some research a few years ago, and just to find out a little bit more about where my great-grandparents came from when they immigrated here. So that was kind of what got me going on that, because I didn't have any real knowledge of, mm-hmm, of that side of the family. So
any surprises and any skeletons in the closet?
It not really. It's pretty uneventful. Like most immigrants at that time, my family didn't own land. They were basically laborers, farm laborers, and looking for a better opportunity. So to America they came.
Very good. Well, it's only fitting that you're out there in Tacoma, because we view you as our Microsoft in education expert. We've talked to you before about that, and that's one of the interesting things about, I think, education and some of these big companies, is they all want to kind of get into it and kind of hook the kids. Google has a big presence, obviously, in education. We don't hear quite as much, at least in these parts, about Microsoft. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about how Microsoft products are kind of embedded there at Evergreen.
Sure. So I took the call in 2013. So that at that time, I was coming out of both a private college / secondary education and private business background, where we use primarily Apple products, I would say, for the majority of the schools in those times. Evergreen already had an established presence. Several of the stakeholders, board members, and so on had worked at Microsoft, and so there were some ties there. Evergreen already had some basic servers and licensing, and when I got here, we were making the transition to the cloud. Obviously, Google was already present in that, and Apple was doing a little stuff with their iCloud, but since we had Microsoft, they had made that commitment, and so we were using, at that time, Office 365 was relatively new, but Office 365 for education, and we were making that transition. So we're a bit of a hybrid, I guess would be the way to look at it. We do set up accounts locally, but they propagate automatically to the Office 365 cloud site, and then the students have the option of using either the full-blown Office product, which ties to the cloud, or they can just use a web browser and obviously use the cloud-based applications, which the students really enjoy doing. They prefer that for the most part. So that's kind of how we got into it.
All right. I noticed your title includes something called Microsoft Innovative Education Expert. That's a mouthful. So that's a little credential that you have that goes along well with that responsibility. What's involved in obtaining that title?
Not as much as you would think, actually. sounds impressive. So, you know, the easiest way to kind of get involved in the community, and I guess that I would call it that as a community, is when you're playing around with Office 365 Ed, I was just looking for some resources, and so one of those is basically the education.microsoft.com website, and it has a whole bunch of free learning tools that are available, but not only just on software, which is one of the things I like, but a lot of it is pedagogically based. You learn the software, but you actually learn more than that. They're setting that up in a pedagogical sense, and so you're actually learning about how to use the tools in education. And so I think that's a pretty important part of that, is actually how can you use the tools. And so Microsoft does a really nice job with that. So in my case, I got kind of hooked in 2015 or so, took a course, and then kind of got on the website. And so you accumulate hours, I guess I shouldn't say hours, they give them points, and so for every course you do, you spend a certain amount of time and you earn points. So once you have so many points and you put together a presentation of how you're actually using these tools in the classroom and how it's improving learning, they review that every summer, and then they basically give you that title and send you a certificate, so Microsoft Innovative Education Expert. And to be honest, they have a map. I'm not sure how many there are in the United States. The surprising thing is that probably the vast majority of these individuals are actually in other countries. So whether it's Europe or India or Southeast Asia, it's a global community. So very much Microsoft in education is very, very global in that regard. So, but that's how I came about that. And then I usually renew that each year. It's real easy to go online and take courses about the material and whatnot. So,
interesting. Perry, you are part of a series of interviews we're doing with next summer's Education Technology and Leadership Summit speakers. That's our conference coming up in June at the Wisconsin Dells, and it's no surprise that you'll be talking about a Microsoft product topic, Microsoft OneNote/Teams. If someone is considering your sectional, can you share a little bit about what they'll be learning regarding the use of these tools in maybe a school and or church setting?
Yeah, sure. And a little background. The OneNote was kind of my entry point, the tool that really got me interested in using the Office 365 services. So OneNote, class notebooks, and Teams is what we'll be talking about. I was originally a kind of a big Evernote user, but when I saw what OneNote could do and its kind of its abilities within the cloud, that's where I sort of was hooked into that, using that as a tool in education. So what we really hope to do with that is just give people a look at what's special about OneNote. It's probably one of those tools that you don't hear much about, especially from the Microsoft side if you're kind of on the corporate side. But it is a really powerful and probably best of class tool for what it does. And it's basically a digital notebook with a page section kind of structure. And so we use it at Evergreen, obviously, in the classroom, and makes that a very powerful tool. But we also use it with the staff to organize a variety of things. I use it, for instance, in my guidance and registrar's work, and keeping notes and student meetings and whatever whether it's College Board materials for SAT, ACT. There's a whole slew of things that I just use it as an organizational tool in that regard. And then obviously we can share it with specific groups of people depending on what the relevance of the material is that we're trying to put together and whatnot. So I guess something that's pretty important in that regard too is we use PowerSchool, which is what the Synod has as a product for our student information system. And so one of the nice things is the integration via something called School Data Sync. And so our ability to actually take the course structure, and what I guess I mean by that is students sign up for classes, we assign teachers and whatnot, all the information stored in PowerSchool. In order to build OneNote class notebooks, the information is read directly out of PowerSchool, and all of that is built automatically. And so even though our school is small, if you're in a in any school, that's a fairly large time commitment to build classes out if your teachers are going to use this as a tool. And so the School Data Sync, which is part of the Office 365 for Education package, works with PowerSchool. Saves huge amounts of time when we're building those initial classes out so that the teachers and the students all have that information, the preset notebooks, and then they can customize those, but it's a huge time saver. So we talk about that. We talk about Teams, which is relatively new. So Microsoft picked up Teams back in, oh boy, it's only been maybe a year or two, and so Teams is sort of, I would say, they use it across both the corporate and the education, but they fine-tune Teams. Microsoft has fine-tuned Teams to work within the education setting, and so OneNote is integrated into that. There's assignments. There's the ability to do grading and points and all kinds of other things, the use of rubrics in grading and whatnot. So Teams is sort of like Google Classroom. People have asked that question before. So I would say that would be an equivalency that you could draw from that. And Teams also has connectors, so it's extensible beyond whatever the original software can do. And so, for instance, in an education setting, I can embed Quizlet and quizzes and different types of activities like that. And so that's kind of a nice feature. So hopefully with the session we'll be talking about the integration and how Teams and OneNote work together. That's part of that. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to ask, are your students interacting with each other and with you via the Teams tool?
Yes.
The communications piece to that?
Yeah, the communications piece to Teams is that there are things called conversations. And so you can have multiple teams in a school setting. Each team, in our case, is one of the classes that I talked about. So it draws through PowerSchool and says, okay, Mr. Lund teaches biology and chemistry and physics and anatomy. So it pre-populates my classes, and we have a conversation tab where I can post pretty much anything, and the students can respond, and we can have discussion threads. But you can also make assignments, and those get populated to student calendars. So you can extend it quite a bit. But we use that that's a pretty significant part of what we can do with the students. So the communications tool is one, assignments, and also file storage. So I should say that Teams acts as sort of a front end to the SharePoint. It's kind of hidden in the background, so you really don't know it's there, but it builds these SharePoint back end portions, and so you can store files there that are related to that class and whatnot. In a business setting, or in a like a church setting, or maybe an administrative setting in a school, you could do the same thing. You could put groups of people together that have a common goal within the school, whether it's recruitment, I do the guidance registrar work. It could be a development office that wants to do that kind of thing. So it's very flexible and extensible that way.
Wow. They're going to get a lot out of your session. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I haven't looked at the time yet, so I mean, I'm going to have to be pretty nimble, I think, with that. So.
Yeah. Lots of capabilities there. So all these tools and capabilities that you're describing, do they work on any device, even a Chromebook, for instance?
Yes, it's Office 365 is completely web-based, and that's sort of the preference of the young generation, very much so. So in we're in a BYOD, so we don't tell them the exact device that they have to bring, but we give them guidelines of what we expect for a device, screen size and keyboard and such, at Wi-Fi, that sort of thing. So I would say in our school about 15% are Chromebook, 15 are Macs, and then the rest are PC laptop of some variant or kind. And so doesn't matter if they're on a Mac or a PC. I would say the majority, they'll have a copy of Office on their computers because they get that as part of the licensing with Office 365 for Ed at Evergreen. But I would say probably 90% or more of the students just use the web interface, and so that's what they're comfortable with. And so Chromebooks, PCs, Mac, laptops, doesn't really matter. They're happy to work on that. And also iOS devices. We don't let the kids have the smartphones in class, but I mean, if they're away of the classroom and they're using their phones, I encourage them to download all the Office 365 apps because then it's accessible and they can do messaging in Teams and check OneNote directly from their phones no matter where they're at. So
interesting. Just curious, do you have iPad users or do you allow that?
We do. iPads with at least a 9.7, 10-inch screen. We want them, we're pushing them to have a physical keyboard, but, you know, students or think they can type just as well with
right.
With the virtual keyboard. That's debatable in my mind. But
I can't.
Yeah, so they're good at thumb typing, but yeah, when it comes to actually writing sentences and stuff, I think maybe that mechanical keyboard still got a slight advantage. So
right. Yeah. Very interesting. Lots of good stuff. Just before we close, just to give our listeners an idea of cost. Now, you've implemented this in your school, and you've talked about an Office 365 for students or education license. What are you looking at for something like that?
Okay, this is going to be a tough one for me, simply because the people who set up Evergreen System, God bless them, some of them were Microsoft employees, so they worked a deal where basically I've been here now this is my sixth year. We have not paid Microsoft very much. In the early years, I think we were probably paying for faculty licenses only, no student license. Everything was free to the students, and we were paying like maybe $75 to $80 to cover our faculty and staff per month. And that has went away. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but so we pay nothing. Now, to be fair, if you were starting this up, Martin, I would say you'd have to go to their website and look. I would say, depending on what you want, probably $2 to $3 per month per student is probably
going to be my guess.
Yeah, probably the cost. And if you want to, you know, do a lot more, then it might go as high as $7. But I would guess you'd be safe in the $2 to $3. And that's more to do with, do you want the ability to download the Office?
Apps, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not a big deal and you can do everything on the web, then it's free. Yeah. If you want to do it strictly web-based, Microsoft won't charge you anything.
It sounds like that's what most of your kids are doing anyway in their web world.
Yeah. So, but as long as Microsoft allows us to have the licensing for the software for free, we'll take advantage of that, and that's great. So.
Okay. Well, I, for one, am hoping that my presentation does not conflict with yours, so I can go to yours as well.
Okay.
Because I'm really excited about OneNote. I use OneNote for a lot of different things. I'm not convinced on Teams yet, but I could
right.
be.
Yep.
So we'll see where that goes. But huge OneNote fan. I don't think there's any equal to it. In my mind, for what it can do. So I think people that will attend your section are going to be real pleased with what they hear. So thank you so much for your willingness to do that, and also for your willingness to take some time out of your trip to the great state of Minnesota as well.
Yeah. Well, we're enjoying it so far, and we appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys.
Awesome. Thanks again, Perry.